It's time for Good Health, an opportunity to hear from our local healthcare community about the most current medical topics and how they relate to your healthy lifestyle. Good Health is brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. Now let's welcome our host, Caitlin Kozad.
Good morning and welcome to Good Health Live, brought to you by Good Shepherd Healthcare System. I'm your host, Caitlin Kozad, and for today's program, we will be talking about the current health topic, the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19. Joining me this morning is Ms. Jody Gavel. She's Good Shepherd Healthcare System's infection preventionist, as well as Mr. George Murdoch, Umatilla County Liaison Commissioner to Umatilla County Public Health. Each of these individuals have a pulse on current information about the novel coronavirus, how we as a healthcare system have prepared, how the county and state have prepared, and how you, the public, can prepare for and help prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus. Jody and George, thanks so much for being here with us today.
My pleasure.
My pleasure.
So, Jody, tell us about your background and what it is you do at Good Shepherd.
So I am the new infection preventionist at Good Shepherd. Our old infection prevention infection preventionist is retiring here soon. I started nursing back in 1995 on the West Coast with mostly critical care. Went to the East Coast, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia. Spent a good 9 years there, and then just recently came back to the West Coast. And I'm just so glad that I'm here to help.
Oh, we're glad to have you, Jody. It's wonderful to have you on the West Coast. And George, tell us about your role as chair of the Umatilla County Board of Commissioners.
I think Jody's getting a baptism by fire. We have a new line staff individual who's dealing with this crisis as well, who's been there 1 month. And on like the first day she got there, the flood hit, and now she's into this. So she says she worked for the Center for Disease Control at one point in her career, and she says it's more exciting here.
So I bet.
Anyway, I am not trained medically. However, I am the liaison to public health, and twice when we had openings for a public health director, I served as the liaison, as the acting director of public health for the county for 2 6-month periods. So at least I've had a little more exposure to active involvement. But I think everyone was very relieved when we actually got a trained director. But that being said, we do not have a manager in Umatilla County, and so consequently, the commissioners are directly involved in overseeing the work of the county, which means we're a great deal more hands-on. And so as a commissioner, it falls, and the only one who happens to be in the county at the moment, it falls to me to become very directly involved.
Wow. We're so glad you are.
Well, I was in Washington, D.C. Over the weekend and Monday trying to get flood relief money, and all of a sudden I was on a plane back to Umatilla County.
Wow.
Prematurely.
Yes, absolutely. Well, again, thank you so much for each of you being here. Let's dive right into what the current COVID-19 status is and how it's impacting Umatilla County and surrounding communities.
Well, clearly, we already know we have one presumptive case. That was an individual in the north end of the county who actually went to Walla Walla, or excuse me, St. Mary's Hospital in Walla Walla for treatment. We since then have had three additional samples that were taken by St. Mary's and forwarded to the state of Washington. We expect today to find out more. But our health department is totally mobilized. Everyone, we're fortunate that we're a big enough county that we have a pretty good-sized public health department. And all of the people in our health department have been assigned a specialized task. Our director is the incident commander, and our deputy director is working side by side, but everybody has their role. When we met yesterday, it was determined that my role would be to come here this morning and join you. And actually, from here, I will be going to a meeting to talk to the school superintendents, because clearly the schools in the county are very, very interested in getting the latest information so that they can take proper precautions and deal with whatever they need to do in the schools.
Yes.
So the county is very much mobilized, very much involved, and yesterday I think I was on 3 conference calls along with our health department with the state of Oregon. We have an epidemiologist assigned to Umatilla County, and we're in constant contact with the Oregon Health Authority.
Fantastic. I can see how it's very important to be up to date on current information, and we certainly appreciate your perspective and what everybody is doing on your end.
Yeah, well, it changes hourly.
Doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So, Jody, maybe you can help our listeners to understand, how does this virus spread?
Well, we're still trying to figure that out, but we're taking guidance from other coronaviruses. So we believe that it is spreading from person to person through droplet, which means that a person coughs, that droplet then goes 3 to 6 feet, lands on surfaces, or lands on other people. We're not sure whether this virus is actually lives or survives on surfaces yet. But as soon as we find out, I believe that the CDC will let us know.
I appreciate your sharing a little more about how it's actually passed from one person to another, because I think that's one of the messages that we need to get out there. As I told you before we started, I think there's some people that think that anybody on the planet is exposed, and that's certainly not the case. We're trying to balance the seriousness of this with not overreacting. And I'm afraid right now, and people are rightfully concerned, but we need to get a handle on how actually you could be exposed and the real information. And so I appreciate your sharing that.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Now, can someone spread the virus without actually showing signs of being sick?
So people, again, we're taking our information from other coronaviruses, but people think, for the most part, you are the most contagious when you're the most sick. Of course, if somebody is sick, they may not feel sick for a little bit, so you possibly could spread it when you're in that little phase. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you are the most contagious when you're the most sick. So if you are coughing, your fever, you're probably the most contagious with any virus, with any respiratory virus.
Absolutely. Now, what should the public know if they suspect they may have COVID-19?
Well, I think it's important if it's a serious medical attention, or if you're seriously worried, then you need to reach out to your doctor, give them a heads up, kind of tell them why you think you might be infected, if you've got a fever, if you've got a low respiratory symptoms, like a deep cough. You want to, before you come into a healthcare facility, you want to put on your mask. Most healthcare facilities have masks available at the entrance. And then when you are registering, let your registration person know that you're worried. Mm-hmm. If you have minor symptoms and you're worried, I would encourage you to call the Umatilla Public Health. There are great resources. They'll walk you through on actions that you need to take.
Absolutely. I can see how it would be really important that the public, if they have any concerns, to call ahead first to their provider. I think that's going to help to ease the burden on our healthcare systems locally. And so to help prevent the spread of misinformation, what organization should we seek accurate information from?
Well, the the one we've been in very close contact with the Oregon Health Authority, and they're getting materials out now. The Center for Disease Control clearly is involved. I want to go back to something I said earlier about the fact that we have three samples that were taken. If there's good news or silver lining in all of that, and we don't yet know whether or how they've been confirmed or if they're presumptive yet, but the three individuals from whom we took the samples were all in close contact with the individual who actually has been diagnosed. And so at least we know the source for those three samples. And in addition, those three people have been in isolation ever since the possibility. So that's at least good news, because some of this is a mystery on where did they contract COVID-19 in the first place. Well, if they do prove to be positive, we know that. But what we're encouraging people to call 211 to get information. We're in the midst of flu and cold season, and so consequently, I think anybody who has the cold or the flu or any symptoms immediately assumes that perhaps they've gotten COVID-19, and that in many cases is it true. So I appreciate your advice about check before you go, because you don't particularly want to be out in public.
You don't want to spread it, absolutely.
No.
And most of the people aren't considered an exposure case. They haven't truly been exposed.
Right.
And I agree, we are seeing everybody that we've been testing so far has been positive for either the flu or other cold viruses.
Right? Yeah, one of the things that OHA has told us that is that many people recover at home.
Yes.
Might recover at home without even being seen by a professional. So
most people have very mild symptoms, just like the regular cold. You've got a little sniffle.
I don't know about all the cases in Washington, but I do know that there's been 9 deaths in all in Washington. But in a number of those cases, they were patients who had other complications and
pre-existing conditions and such.
Thanks for the medical term. pre-existing conditions.
Right, and they definitely met the exposure criteria.
Right.
If our public would like to know some of those sources they should seek out for current and accurate information, we would just like to share that the Oregon Health Authority, the Public Health Resources, Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention, the World Health Organization, they all have accurate and confirmed information that's available. And like George was saying, that public line 211, which I understand you have to call via a cell phone, that's what our community should do should they have, you know, questions or concerns about the novel coronavirus. So, Jody, maybe you can touch on what the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are saying is best practice for prevention.
Yes. So it goes back to any respiratory illness. You want to wash your hands, and you want to wash your hands good. You want to wash your hands for the 20 seconds. Wash it with soap and water. And that means getting in the cracks of your fingers, no sloppy hand washing, right?
You sound like my wife.
I know. It's like going back to what Grandma said, okay? You want to, if somebody coughs on you, or if you see somebody coughing on a hard surface and you touch that hard surface, you want to wash your hands. You don't want to really be touching your mouth or your eyes. You want to, if somebody is coughing, give them a 3 feet, 6 feet, kind of your personal protective window. You don't want to be right next to them. If you feel a cough coming suddenly, put your elbow up and cough in your elbow. Mm-hmm. Try not to avoid coughing in your hands if you can. If you have a tissue, but oftentimes when you're coughing, you don't always have a tissue. So, but if you have a tissue, cough in the tissue and then throw that tissue away and then wash your hands again. There's some speculation that maybe this virus does live on hard surfaces. We don't know if that for sure, but they're saying go ahead and clean your high-touch surfaces. So that's your doorknobs, that kind of stuff, daily. Stay current on your vaccinations. Try to exercise, eat healthy, and protect yourself. And just be watchful.
Yeah, all of those seem, pretty simple, but really the best
helpful.
The best method for combating this that each of you can do daily.
And we know this because we've practiced with other outbreaks, maybe mm-hmm. more isolated situation, but we've practiced this and we know it works.
Yes.
Well, I also know that there's been a run on sanitizers, and it's very difficult to find. But I also understand, and I've seen it. You can go online, and there are ways that you can make your own sanitizer. So there's recipes online for making your own if you can't find it at the store. And I've seen pictures of stores where they have signs up that say the supplies simply aren't available. But you can make your own. One of the things that the Center for Disease Control isn't going to say is about going to school or going to work. Mm-hmm. And I do know what the schools are saying is, if you aren't sick, come to school. Mm-hmm. If you are sick, do us a favor and please stay home.
Please stay home. Yes.
And that's the same thing that we're telling our employees.
Yes.
If you're sick, please stay home. If you aren't sick, then come to work. It's fine. You're probably in no more danger at work than you are anywhere else you go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are sick, in this case, don't martyr yourself and
right.
come to work.
Absolutely. That's a great reminder for all of us. So, Jody, can you touch on what the steps are the Good Shepherd Healthcare System is taking to prepare for a potential outbreak in our community?
We're doing multiple things. The nice thing is we've been preparing for this in a way. Every year we have emergency preparedness exercises, and we just had one last year. We prepared that we maybe had the plague. So this is very similar to that in a way. So we are we're encouraging again people to call the either the ED or their doctor's offices ahead of time if they're worried. We are also encouraging one support person per patient, just for patient advocacy. We are also changing our strategies a little bit depending on CDC and OHA recommendations. And we're also monitoring and preventing unnecessary use of PPE to ensure that we have necessary supplies on hand for our staff.
I'm going to stop you there. Can you explain what PPE is to our listeners?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
Personal protective equipment. So that is our mask, our masks, our gown,
yes.
Our gloves.
Excellent.
We are also we've had some great exercises for our hospital or inpatient facilities, but we're also expanding that to our outpatient facilities. We've got multiple clinics. We are taking this situation very seriously. We're meeting daily to monitor our strategy and to change our strategy pretty much minute by minute. We're checking our resources pretty much hourly and changing as we need. So far, we haven't had to change our strategies a whole lot. We're educating our staff and taking huge steps in protecting our employees.
Yeah, and I definitely know that Good Shepherd Healthcare System has been working very closely with the Umatilla Public Health regularly. They're following up every hour to make sure that what we are doing as a healthcare system is in line with their guidelines as well as the Oregon Health Authority.
appreciate what Good Shepherd's doing, and I can assure you that Commissioner Elfring is particularly interested in what you're doing since he's a member of your board, and, mm-hmm. and he calls us several times a day to make sure he's on top of it. But back to preparedness. In terms of preparedness, there's a couple of things that I want to add here that I overlooked or didn't mention. One of the fact is that in terms of practices, thermometers. People should not be sharing thermometers. Mm. They should have their own thermometer in this case. And I just learned that yesterday. But but the health department is giving out thermometers. I don't know where else you can get them, but forever. But if a family is concerned, if they're sick and they're worried about possibly having the symptoms, they should make sure they aren't sharing the thermometer.
Yeah.
The other thing is that And you indicated that earlier this is the 14 days is like a vacation for people, but I've talked to people now who have been isolated in a room or at home for 5 or 6 days, and I think it's past the vacation stage. In the case of our small group of families that have experienced the fact that they are now isolated, they're isolated for 14 days. And it's well to make sure you have supplies around the house to get along for 14 days. You don't think about that. And so we're making some provisions to help them. But in terms of food and just regular household supplies, if all of a sudden you can't go to the store for 14 days, it's well to have some things around to get you through at least for a few days till somebody can help you.
Absolutely.
And yeah. It's not something you think about. All of a sudden, poof, you can't go out for 14 days.
Right. Although we might find it as a vacation, but...
Right. I think it's a vacation for the first few days,
yes.
But what I'm hearing is that when you're isolated, particularly if you're isolated to a single room and away from everybody else, it ceases to be fun after a while.
Yes. That is correct.
Right. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to convey to people. There's absolutely no question that this is a very serious epidemic that we need to deal with, but there's a possibility that people get alarmed. There's lots and lots of misinformation out there. People hear things and they spread it, and we want people to be careful and practice good personal hygiene habits and protect themselves, but it doesn't do any good for them to overreact.
Exactly. I would take the opportunity to go out in the afternoons and walk. Go walking up a hill. Take your dog, walk up a hill, go exercise, eat your vegetables, get plenty of good sleep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Do you each have any additional comments, really to help our listeners to, like I said, prepare and, feel at ease that the organizations locally are doing everything that we can to prepare for this and to provide the best care and the best resources possible for our communities?
I would encourage companies, please go on to the CDC. They have wonderful resources. No matter what industry you're in, they have wonderful resources to help you prepare for this. They've been doing this for a long time. They're our best scientific resource. Please just go on their website. It's easy to read.
Absolutely.
I think one thing is comforting news for us, because we hear about the deaths, we hear about the problems worldwide, etc., and we make assumptions about what's happening to our one case in Umatilla County. But what I am happy to report is not that we have a case, but that the individual is recovering. At some point in time, we'll be released from the hospital, but is recovering, and that's certainly good news.
Mm-hmm. It is, and we've seen that across the world. People are recovering from this.
So I just want to add that, we at Good Shepherd Healthcare System, we know how to prepare for situations like this. We're always there ready to care, and our communities are counting on us to be there for them now. We've prepared carefully, as we have in the past, for illnesses like SARS, H1N1, Ebola, and Zika. And really, this is a caring community of healthcare professionals at Good Shepherd, and we want the best outcomes for our patients and our employees, you know, who have to show up every day and provide the best care possible and, you know, even expose themselves potentially. So we want to protect them too. And we're always striving to deliver care in a safe, efficient, and compassionate way. And, you know, with the guidance from state and local organizations that we've been working with so closely, like Hematilica Public Health and the Oregon Health Authority, we hope to deliver the best care possible during this outbreak and every day should it come. So if you're just joining us now, we have been talking about the novel coronavirus known as COVID-19 and helping our listeners to prepare and understand what state and local organizations are doing, and especially Good Shepherd Healthcare System, to prepare for a potential outbreak in our communities. We just heard from Ms. Jody Gavel. She's Good Shepherd Healthcare System's infection preventionist, and Mr. George Murdoch, Umatilla County Liaison Commissioner. Each of these individuals have a pulse on current information about the novel coronavirus and how we as a healthcare system have prepared, and how the county and state have prepared, and how you, the public, can prepare for and help and prevent the spread of this coronavirus. So thank you, Jody and George, for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time and your inputs.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
We are encouraging our community to stay up to date on current and confirmed information, which can be found by visiting the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website or frequently checking the Umatilla County Public Health and Oregon Health Authority Facebook pages, as well as Good Shepherd Healthcare System's Facebook page. This has been Good Health Live, and I'm your host, Caitlin Kozad, and thank you for joining us today.